1210, Wintrust Business Lunch. By the way, just a quick postscript to what we were talking about before the news. Hey, John, my favorite mugshot was James Brown. Somebody else voted for Frank Sinatra. Others said Johnny Cash, and many said Nick Nolte. Who asked anybody to vote? I was just going over a list of famous mugshots. It was in the news, but one of the notes just about famous mugshots. John, if President Trump should be charged for lying about his weight and his height in that mugshot, then almost everyone who has ever had a driver's license should also be. Let's be honest. Most of the weights noted on driver's licenses are totally inaccurate, and that is not a coincidence. John Beaver joins us now, financial advisor at Phase 3 Advisory Services. John, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
So, let's start with the Fed and what you think is going to happen. Markets are having a little bit of an uptick today, but you see maybe some clouds on the horizon, right?
Yeah, and this is partly just seasonal. We tend to have a rough period of time of the market sometime late August through October. Doesn't happen every year, but this just seems like it'd be a classic year for that to happen, given the nice run-up that the market had. We have run into trouble the last couple of weeks. The last time I was on, the market was at its high, 4,600 on the S&P. Now we're down a little bit below 4,400. Not much of a sell-off, about 5%. So at least another 5% to the downside would make sense to have a 10% pullback. I'm not concerned about this pullback. It may be indication that the recession may start into the second quarter of next year. It's really hard to say just because it's cloudy. Like Jay Powell said today, he said it was great. We're navigating by the stars under cloudy skies, and I think that says it all. But the bottom line is I do expect the market to be higher a couple of years down the road once we kind of get through this little issue of getting inflation under control.
So did he say definitively what's going to happen with the next interest rate opportunity? It's going to go up again a quarter?
So not necessarily the next time, but he certainly kept it on the table. His comments today were on the hawkish side, and they struck a negative tone last year at Jackson Hole. He said then we should prepare for some pain. He didn't say that again this time. We haven't had that pain yet, but what he did say is that Fed's job is to bring inflation down, and it's still too high. 2% is the inflation target. They're not going to change it to 3%. There is some uncertainty by the Fed about this lagging response to policy. There's always a lagging response. In fact, we talked about that last time, how when they raise interest rates and invert the yield curve, it's somewhere between 18 to 24 months before we really get the true recession. And so we've only been a year into that process, and it's probably why he's saying we're still not certain where we're at, because they haven't gotten to at least enough of a slowdown to bring inflation down. And he said it again, he keeps saying it over and over again, we're going to keep at it until the job is done and they're ready for the next rate hike, but he didn't say it was going to be the next time they meet. Right now the market is predicting a 50-50 chance that there's going to be one more rate hike before the end of the year and no rate hikes next year. So I think the market may be a little bit on the positive side of that from what the reality is going to be.
Some of the inflation numbers are pretty good, right?
Yes, they are. And that is a positive. That's on the positive side. And so the argument for no more rate hikes would be the slowdown that's happening internationally. Mortgage applications are down, so that's going to bring down activity. There's going to be as much spending to either outfit the new house or fix up the one that I just bought. And the Fed also says that consumer excess savings are probably depleted at this point in time, COVID money. So that would be the arguments that there would be no more rate hikes, and it just takes time to let the current rate hikes do their job. I lean towards that side. I think they should just stand pat here for a while. But on the negative side, what's pressuring them is that although inflation is moderating, I'm not sure we're into any further declines. It's that first part from going from 10% inflation to 5%, that was the easy part. Going from 5% to 2%, that's the more difficult part. The PPI is stubborn at this point in time, higher than they'd like to see it. The Fed minutes show that the board is biased towards higher rates for longer. The inflation, the initial claims for unemployment are stable. We're not seeing much of a rise there. And right. The GDP now indicator from Atlanta Fed is indicating an annualized rate of almost 6% GDP in the third quarter.
want to ask you then what you think about interest rates, mortgage rates, and the housing market in a little more detail in a minute. It's a 12:15, though. Let's first go into the WGN Radio Newsroom, get you another market update. Lauren Lapka, where are we now? We're talking to John Beaver. He is the president of Phase 3 Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm and registered principal with Osaic Wealth, Inc. John, just talk to me a little bit. We were talking about the Fed and interest rates. We're at a historic high. Well, for a couple of decades now, interest rates have not been as high as they are now. 30-year fixed around 7. What's the Fed's position right now going to do to home sales over the next year or so?
So not much change, because they're not talking about raising rates much. It's just they're going to have to do one or two more increases. And actually, at this point in time, for mortgages, the most important thing is the 10-year Treasury bond. So mortgages really paying off the 10-year Treasury. And we're actually, this week, we flirted with new highs in the 10-year Treasury bond yield. Didn't quite make it, so we made a double top to, like, last October. And so that's what the mortgage rates actually adjust off of. So the rates are maybe a tad high compared to the 10-year Treasury, but not much. And that has made home ownership less affordable because of these higher rates above 7% on mortgage rates. So what that means for the mortgage market is that the mortgage applications are down. They're down because home purchases are soft. But that also puts the first-time home buyers, the new home buyers, in a difficult situation because they want to get into the home. So what we're saying is that sales haven't just plummeted. They're finding a way to make it affordable. They're figuring out how to change their budget so they can actually get into a home, or some of the prices are getting soft and they're finding the opportunity to slip into a home. So I don't see this having much effect on the housing market or on mortgage rates. I think we're probably going to stay steady here until we really see that inflation rate come down to 2% and the Fed takes their foot off the brake.
Yeah. And then you liberate the people that are in 3% mortgages who maybe will rotate out of those properties, right?
So we have a lot of clients that were thinking of moving and they're just not moving because they don't want to go from a 3% to a 7%. So those plans are on hold, particularly those near retirement or at retirement.
Yeah. But and it would seem to me like that's so important. It would just seem to me that's so important. I mean, if you are the Fed and you're imagining what the consequences are of your decisions and you think, okay, it'll affect, car purchases or credit cards debt or inflation or people's lives. But it would just seem to me like one of the biggest things you can do for or against the economy is the housing market. I'd sure like to see those interest rates come down to sort of jumpstart that part of the economy.
Yeah, but the Fed doesn't control the mortgage rates. All they control is a short-term interest rate. That their Fed rate, the rate that they lend at. The market actually adjusts the 10-year Treasury bond. And so what the market is saying, hey, we don't see a recession on the horizon, so those rates are going up. There's also another force keeping the interest rates high in the Treasury market, and that is how much money the government has to borrow. They have a lot of debt that's rolling at this point in time, Treasury bonds that are coming due. They have to renew that. And the Fed used to be a buyer of some of that the last several years as a result of the financial crisis and COVID. Now the Fed is stepping away from that market, not buying those longer-dated bonds. And so now the Treasury has to go to the public market and borrow that money, and that's keeping these interest rates high. In fact, it's very possible that the 10-year Treasury bond could push as much as another 0.5% higher because of the government's demand for all of this. And they have to borrow it. You know, they've raised the debt ceiling, so now they're going to borrow. It's not are they or are they not. They're going to borrow it. And they also have the Social Security equation in here, too, which is looming.
What do you mean by that?
So the office, the trust report came out on Social Security, and it says in years the reserves will be gone. What does that mean? So they've got extra money, which is paying out to the baby boomers. But once that money runs out, the law says that they can only pay out what they take in tax revenue. Right now they're dealing with a savings account they've got money in that they're pulling from. So in 10 years that money runs out. So they've got to figure out how they're going to solve the Social Security equation, which means they've got to solve the deficit issue. So there's a big issue here with the debt that is looming. And that is going to have an effect on the Treasury market because if because the Treasury has to borrow quite a bit of money. So the piece that Social Security plays here is it sits in the back of the minds of traders where they go, you know what, there's going to be a lot of money that's going to be borrowed.
Do you think that the we're going to see an adjustment in Social Security equation, either retirement age or payouts, income ceilings, that sort of thing?
I have no idea, because this Congress can't get their act together. They need to get their act together in two ways. They need to get their act together and balance the budget. They need to raise taxes a little bit and bring down spending, and they can solve that. Social Security is also a pretty easy equation. If they'll sit down and take care of it now, which is highly unlikely, but it's probably going to be a combination of raising the full retirement age for those that are younger, getting some additional tax revenue in there, and then doing something to maybe means test it to some degree. There's a lot. They don't have to do a lot. That's the point. They don't have to do a lot. If they would get together and put together a couple of compromises, they could get this resolved, just like Tip O'Neill and Reagan did. What was that, 30, 40 years ago?
Yeah. But a means test would mean that if you've made, or if you are making so much money in retirement, then your Social Security payment would be diminished or go away. Is that how a means test would work on Social Security?
Yeah, and not really go away. And they're really sort of means testing it right now, because once your income goes above a certain level, joint filers over $32,000, then they start taxing your Social Security income in retirement, which is another way of means testing it. And so they add in anywhere between 50 to 85 cents per every dollar of Social Security once you get over that threshold. So they're already doing it. You know, they're not cutting your benefit. They're just taking it away with the tax.
Seemed to me like another solution would be to, what's the threshold now, $110,000 or something like that? After that, your Social Security, your FICA thing goes away. Well, let's just raise that to a higher income level. That would generate more money. That's a button I could push.
Yeah, and that's very likely to happen. So that's likely to be part of the solution. They've been doing that for several years. It keeps going up every year.
John Beaver is the president of Phase 3 Advisory Services, registered investment advisory firm. Hey, John, it's always insightful to talk to you. Thanks for your thoughts.
Always good to be here.
1227. Let's get you WGN Radio News after this.